The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In the book of Mark, why does Jesus send out his 12 disciples to Israel? And how should we respond when the gospel we share is rejected? Hello there, welcome to Grace in Focus, the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are glad you have joined us today as we are continuing our short study of the book of Mark. If you want to know more about the Grace Evangelical Society, look us up at faithalone.org. You can also listen to our YouTube videos on the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion from Mark chapter 6, here's Bob Wilkin along with Ken Yates.
And we're continuing our survey, I guess is what you
call it. Our meanderings through Mark.
Ooh, that's good. Meanderings through Mark. And we are now in chapter 6. And in chapter 6, it starts off with Jesus going to Nazareth. And he's rejected by the people of his
hometown. Isn't that where he grew up? Yeah.
Yeah, grows up in this town. They go, there's no way.
A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown.
That's exactly right. And that's what Jesus tells him.
By the way, he was born in Bethlehem.
Right.
And then he spent some time in Egypt, but then he grew up in Nazareth.
Right. And he returns and he preaches in their synagogue. And by the way, he goes more than once to Nazareth, because in Luke, we're told he went to Nazareth very, 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 very early in his ministry. But yeah. Now we have a second return. And in both times, they reject him.
Yeah.
Because they go, we know this guy.
This guy's a carpenter. What are we supposed to listen to him for?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And then he goes, Jesus with his hands do all these miracles. Well, we know that his hands just as a carpenter's hands. How could he possibly do this? And by the way, the implication, it seems to me, is he's deceiving us in some way. Now, the religious leaders in chapter 3 said he does these things through Satan.
So they knew he was doing it.
Yeah.
Not some kind of magic trick.
Right. And so the question is, what do the people in Nazareth, what do they think he's, how do they think? Obviously, he's not doing it by God. There's something going on either. Who knows?
That's the way they're looking at it.
But he's rejected by it. And by the way, when he says that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and in his own house, a few verses later, look what happens to John the Baptist.
Yeah.
John the Baptist, the prophet, is killed. And so what you see in chapter 6 is this idea of God's messengers being rejected. Jesus at Nazareth, and then John the Baptist. Okay, John the Baptist is killed by Herod Antipas. But in between those, Jesus says, now he's going to send the disciples out to the nation of Israel. And what are they going to experience?
Okay, now, why would he, before we even look at the exact passage, why would he send the 12 out? What is the purpose of their mission?
My own view is that there's two purposes.
All right, what?
Number one, multiplication, right? Jesus is going to the nation of Israel. Well, 13 mouths are better than one. So the message that Jesus is the Christ, that here's the kingdom being offered to the nation.
Yes.
So you have a multiplication of effort.
So, and they, of course, are going to lead some to faith in Christ and to follow Christ.
Right.
And they're multipliers, too.
And then, of course, the other thing I would say is that they're being trained, because eventually the nation's going to kill the Lord.
Yes.
And at the end of the book, Jesus is going to send these men out.
They're taking the message to the world.
To the world.
To the remotest part of the earth.
So this is a training.
In fact, I have a book, I think it's by A.B. Bruce, called The Training of the 12.
Oh, there you go.
And a third thing, which really you included in your first thing, is they're going out and preaching this because the kingdom coming in that century to that generation is still a viable option.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they'd been rejecting him, Jesus is still offering the kingdom. So he's sending them out to preach, and their message is in great part a message of repentance.
Yeah, yes, we see it in these verses, right.
And repentance is necessary for the kingdom to come.
For the nation of Israel.
Right.
And that's one of the things we want to talk about.
That's a good point, by the way. It doesn't matter how many Gentiles on the planet repent.
Right.
It's got to be the Jewish people who are in fellowship with God for the kingdom to come.
That's right. A reminder in the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. God says, if you're living righteously, I'll bless you.
Right.
If you're not,
I'll curse you.
I'll curse you and discipline you and punish you.
Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28.
Yep. Right. And the kingdom is the greatest blessing of all.
Right.
And the nation is so far out of fellowship with the Lord here that they need to turn.
Well, they're getting ready to kill him.
And look what happened at Nazareth.
Yeah.
Nazareth,
they reject
him. His own town rejects him.
Well, you know, John 1, 11 to 12, he came to his own received him not.
There you go.
But to as many as received him, them he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Well, the vast majority of Israel rejected him. We don't know how many he led to faith in him during the 3.5 years.
And how many of these 12?
And his apostles,
right.
Yeah. Well, and there were more than that, too, because he sent out the 70 on some occasions.
Right.
But the number certainly wasn't more than a few thousand, maybe 5 or 10,000. But we only find 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost.
So we can say that however many believed, even much fewer were disciples.
Right. Yeah, well, we do have 500 he appears to in 1 Corinthians 15.
Right.
And maybe all 500 of those are believers. I mean, not just believers, but disciples.
Right.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
We really don't know how many disciples, believers and disciples. And of course, he had unbelieving disciples from John 6:64. Some of you don't believe, and they were leaving him at that point. But when he sends them out, they're preaching, and they're also casting out demons, right?
That's right.
And so why cast out demons? Because demons are opposing God.
Right.
And this is showing that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and that he has power over the enemies of God.
He is offering the kingdom, and so the kingdom of the evil one is opposing him.
Right.
There's a clash of the two kingdoms here, if you will, the offer of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the evil one. Right.
And the case can be made that God released the demons as a background to prove that Jesus is the Messiah.
Absolutely, yeah.
The only places we see this is during the ministry of Jesus and the early ministry of the apostles,
who were confirming that they had been sent out by him.
Right.
And the book of Acts are offering the kingdom to the nation of Israel again.
Right. But we don't see demon possession in the Old Testament, and we don't see demon possession described in the book of Revelation, nor do we see it any teaching on how to cast out demons in the epistles.
Exactly. It's not for the church. And so once again, in this passage,
although a lot of people disagree with this.
Sure. And then they're wrong.
They have classes they can offer.
Show you how to do it?
Yeah, I'm sure. Don't Catholic priests have exorcisms, I think?
Well, what was it? The Asbury Revival. Weren't they supposedly casting out
demons? Oh, they were?
Yeah, I think I heard
you and I both did little videos about that. And they were casting out demons?
Yeah, I believe that was the case. Yeah, not very many, but a few, I think. I heard the stories. But
I shouldn't laugh, but I just don't believe that God's allowing demons to be free in our world today based on Scripture. I don't see any indication.
Well, the other question is, how would we cast them out even if they were? We're not given any instructions on how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, what is the method by which the church is supposed to do it? And like you mentioned, we're not told that in any of the epistles written to the churches.
Yeah.
And so Bob and I are just simply saying that here in chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, Jesus is sending out the disciples, and he tells them to go to the nation, and like you said, cast out demons, heal the sick.
But if they go to a place, a city, and they don't accept him like they didn't accept Jesus in Nazareth, shake the dust off your feet, which was basically what a Jew would do when they left Gentile lands, right?
Exactly.
They would shake the Gentile dust off their feet. So it's basically treating these Jewish people like they're Gentiles.
That's exactly right. And what we see, and you just mentioned it, Jesus set the example. He's rejected at Nazareth. the disciples, even though they're going to be able to do all these things, just the same things Jesus was doing, of casting out demons and healing the sick.
Yeah,
they're
even going to they're going to reject them.
They're going to experience opposition. Now, Bob and I are very strong on this, that this is a message for the nation of Israel, but there is an application for us today, and
right.
It's a simple application, very direct. We can expect opposition from the world.
Oh, absolutely.
We're not casting out demons, and we're not raising people from the dead or healing the sick, but the evil one is going to oppose us.
That's right.
If we proclaim the message of grace, of eternal life by faith alone in Christ, and are faithful in teaching the Word of God, we're going to experience opposition from the world.
And not just from people in other religions.
Right.
People from within Christianity are going to say, that's easy believism.
Yeah.
That's cheap grace. That's a false gospel.
That's right.
Right?
I mentioned a few chapters ago that I just did this a panel discussion up in North Texas. And that's one of the things they said. They said, what you're saying is easy believism. That was his words. And so the lessons in discipleship, which is the name of the commentary, Mark, lessons in discipleship. Here's one of them. If Jesus experienced opposition.
We will too, if we follow him.
Through
many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom.
Bingo. And you got Jesus being opposed at Nazareth, but also being opposed by Satan. Well, we can expect that, too, if we're faithful to the Lord.
That's right. And by the way, when I say through many tribulations, that's for the disciple.
Right.
The only way to skip the tribulations is to skip out on being a follower of Christ, and then we reap the consequences of following the world.
Right.
One final point. I know we only got a short time left, but he said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city which rejected the apostles and their message. I think that refers to degrees of torment in the lake of fire. The day of judgment referring to the great white throne judgment. But you think this may refer or may also refer to 70 AD and saying that's going to be a worse judgment than what happened on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, certainly the idea that there's going to be differences of torment in the lake of fire is true. And to whom much is given, this is true for believers, more is going to be expected of them. But in this context of going to the nation of Israel, Jesus could be saying this judgment that's going to fall upon the nation in AD 66 through 70 is going to be worse than what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah.
More people died
right.
over a longer period
Starvation.
Of time. Over a million Jews died.
Yeah, and many of them were crucified. Anyway, we hope this is, again, whetting your appetite for further study in the Gospel of Mark. And in the meantime,
keep grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, do you know some people who are unlikely believers in God? Join us next time. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.